It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning as we have all come together for the purpose of worshiping our God, the only true and living God. The scripture we read just a few moments ago reminds me of a certain time of year where programs are put on in different places and perhaps in denominations where they use that particular time to celebrate a special event. As Brother Bob was reading that passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 8 through 14. But that Scripture needs to be read more often, needs to be talked about more often, because it's not just one time a year that we should be thankful and celebrate the most precious thing that has ever been given to man, and that is the Son of God. In just a few moments, we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation and encouragement to anyone who might be here this morning and has not made their lives right with God, giving them the opportunity to do that. And that's one of the things that, or maybe I should say the main thing that I want to talk to you about is the opportunity. A second chance. Another chance. When the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Jesus, as we read a moment ago in our scripture, to the shepherds, he said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The good news is that Jesus came into the world and that He died on the cross for our sins, for every one of us, and for all of our sins. In Jesus Christ, we may have the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus Christ, we may once again stand before the God of all creation and be right with Him. Through Jesus Christ, we have hope of eternal life. There is no better, no greater news than this. Unless it is that even for believers who have fallen away, there's another chance. One day, there will be no more chances. There will be no more opportunities given for us to come to God and obey His Word. As Jesus pointed out, recorded in the Gospels, the bridegroom will come, and those who are ready will enter into the house. The door will be shut. But right now, this very moment, this very second, on this side of eternity, there is the good news of another chance. I know that there are times in all of us, in our lives, where we wish we could have or get another chance at something. Something that we may not have done so well with or done very well with the first time. And if we were given another chance, we truly believe that it would make a difference. And chances are it probably would make a difference. Because we would realize and know where we messed up and what went wrong. We would know that we would get it right if we just had one more chance. This lesson today is a lesson that's not just centered and based upon those of us who are Christians. It's a wonderful thing as being a Christian. that God gives us another chance. Because we, as God's children, like everyone else, we stumble. We do things that we know we should not do. We leave undone things that are commanded of us, but we get another chance while we have the opportunity. But one day our opportunities will come to an end. I hope, and my prayer for all of us, is that we take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us to make our lives right with Him. Because, first of all, I want to point out there's some not so good news in the Word of God that talks about the point of no return. Not obeying God, or not obeying the gospel, or even falling away from God is very serious. It's very dangerous. The Word of God, the Bible, issues some stiff warnings to those who do not obey God, to those who do not obey the gospel, or who fall away from the grace of God. We read of those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 12. And in verse 32, it was spoken there that it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I don't know of any language that is stronger than that. They saw what Jesus was doing through the Spirit, and they said it was Satan doing it. And Jesus said, this is not only ridiculous, but it's very serious. They were refusing to acknowledge the source of what Jesus was doing. Theirs was a problem of willful spiritual blindness. To see obvious evidence of the Spirit of God and to say it is from the devil was inexcusable. And Jesus said, it's unforgivable. Jesus warned that they were close to setting themselves against God to the extent that they would exclude themselves completely from Him. Now, we may not be able to repeat this sort of thing, or this same thing, the way that those did in Jesus' day. But the same attitude of heart can and may be developed when we need to be warned that a hardening of the heart may result to the point of no return. That's the reason why the gospel is the good news of another chance. A second chance. And maybe even numerous second chances. In at least five places in the New Testament, we're warned of this point of no return. What we face is that the point of no return exists. It's a possibility. And the Hebrew writer was very concerned about reaching this point of no return. In the letter addressed to the Hebrews in chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, the writer there writes these words when he says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. When what is known is rejected, when it is not received, there is nothing else that is known that can touch our hearts or your heart, nor can it renew our faith. It is a dangerous condition the Hebrew writer warns us of. Also in the 10th chapter of the Hebrew letter, beginning at verse 26, notice, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? We know him that has said, 'Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Here, the writer is expressing to go on sinning willfully is to reject the once for all sacrifice for sins that have been made for us through the death of Jesus Christ. And all that awaits a person who continues to sin willfully, who deliberately sets out and does the things contrary to the Word of God, they can expect a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. And then again in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning at verse 15, there the writer urges us to be careful when he says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many being defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." The writer urges us to not be like Esau, who traded the heavenly for the earthly, who focused his attention more on the present than on the eternal. And later, when he saw his folly, he desired the blessing, but he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Peter also warned of this reaching the point of no return, when he writes that the last state of falling away is worse than the first state. It's worse because it's deliberate. And in the first epistle of John, in chapter 5, in verses 15 and 16, John distinguished a sin not leading to death from a sin leading to death. The sin leading to death is the sin for which there is no repentance. The Bible is full of warnings such as this. God's Word warns us over and over again about reaching this point. This point of no return, where nothing else can be nor will be done. I want us to feel the full force of these warnings. We need to recognize what awaits those who do not take advantage of every opportunity, who are given many chances to do the things God has revealed for them to do, but yet will not do them. The words that were written and spoken by the Hebrew writer are frightening words. And if you are away from God, the longer you wait, the harder it will be to come to Him. The longer you wait to come to God, the more dangerous it is for you. But in addition to these warnings, which I hope serve to make us appreciate even more the good news of Jesus Christ, is the good news of another chance. The good news of another chance is the news that God has made every provision that we need for our salvation to be complete. God graciously gives us every opportunity to be right with Him. He's given us another opportunity right now. He's given us an opportunity today. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But that long-suffering one day will come to an end, because that's the character of God. In pleading for God's continual presence with His rebellious people, Moses asked God to show His glory. Turn over to Exodus chapter 33. And in Exodus chapter 33, begin reading at about verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also, that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Moses apparently needed reassuring that God would abide with him and with his people in spite of their rebellion. God's response to this request was to make his goodness pass before Moses, and to proclaim him before Moses. God's glory can be seen in his goodness, which characterizes God, because it's God's character. God revealed himself by descending in a cloud and standing with Moses on Mount Sinai. He passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed himself unto Moses and to the children. God is a compassionate God. He's a gracious God, a merciful God, abounding in loving kindness. These are the descriptions of God, balanced by the sobering thought that He will by no means leave the guilty of sin unpunished. Sin will be taken into account and it will be punished. But the good news is that God doesn't desire to punish. At least 12 more times in the Old Testament, God revealed Himself to His people for the purpose that they might know that He is a God of salvation. When the writers of the New Testament encourage repentance and confession of sins, and the repentance of sins, they base their writings from the character of God. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have another chance today to make our lives right with God, because that's the kind of God God is. God giving us every opportunity to do the things He has commanded for us to do. That's the good news. And you know, there's some more good news found in the Word of God. And that is, we have a continuing work of Christ. The same writer that issued those warnings that can be reached as the point of no return also issued the good news concerning Jesus Christ and His saving work. This saving work of Christ at the cross is addressed and has addressed the penalty of sin. It addressed the penalty of sin for every sinner, for every person that walks the face of this earth, that breathes in the air. The saving work of Christ addressed the penalty for every sinner, for all their sins, for all time. And you know what some more good news is? Is that He's there at this time, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, pleading, interceding on our behalf. The good news of another chance, of a second chance. The great promise that was made is also some good news. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. There is no other place that our sins can be washed away. There is no other means by which they may be cleansed other than the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we fail to walk in the light, when we stumble and fall, the good news is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But as simply as I know how to say it, the good news is that there is no sin of which we confess and repent of that God will not forgive. Jesus' sacrifice for our sins paid the penalty for the blackest, the worst, most abhorrent sin. And now, that good news And that's good news. And it's that good news that should bring all of us even closer to God. We sang a song just a moment ago, "Draw Me Nearer to the Lord." Every day, we have the opportunity, because God gives us the opportunity. The opportunity to do the things God desires for us to do, God commands us to do, to be pleasing in His sight. To submit our lives to Him. To live our lives according to the way that He has directed. The good news is, today there's another chance. You have another chance to obey God. You have another chance to be faithful to God. You have another chance to do the work and serve God. But one day, those opportunities, those chances, are going to come to an end. And what you have done with those opportunities, with all those second chances that God has so graciously and freely given to you, are going to determine where you will spend and be in eternity. Have you taken advantage of every opportunity that God has given you to do the things God commands for you to do in His Word? If you're not a Christian, you haven't. You haven't taken advantage of the opportunity to be buried with Jesus Christ in baptism and letting the Lord add you to His church. To be numbered among His children, being heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Don't let another opportunity pass you by, because it might just be the last one you get. If you're here this morning and you're subject in any way to the gospel, you want to take advantage of this opportunity, this chance, this second chance that God's given you to make your life right with Him, we invite you and encourage you to do so right now as together we stand and sing.